Chazorshe Perek Hei Mishnah Dalet until Perek Zayin Mishnah Zayin. The next perek and a half discusses the various rights and responsibilities of a husband and a wife towards each other. And we know that the husband needs to support the wife, and in exchange for that, he receives all her masi odeho. Everything she earns and makes goes to him. And therefore, if he makes her masi odeho her hekdosh, which means that he says it should go to Bis HaMikdosh, and then she won't be able to have benefit, which means she won't even be able to make them, then she can actually say to him, you know what, I'll support myself, and therefore the masi odeho will not go to you, and if they don't belong to you, then you don't have the rights to make them hekdosh. And that's a solution. If he says they're going to be hekdosh, then she should just say, I'll support myself, they don't belong to you, and they won't be hekdosh. And then we had a machlekes, and it'll be meyer, and it'll be yechlin hasandlar, about whether something, a dovar shloi bola oilom, something which doesn't exist yet, or you don't own it yet, whether you can make that hekdosh. Rabbi Meir said you could, Rabbi Yochanan Sanz said you couldn't. Then we said, all the responsibilities of a wife to do for her husband. She's obligated to grind, bake, wash his clothes, cook, nurse her child, make his bed, and work with wool. And if she brings in a number of maidservants, then she doesn't need to do some of those things, depending on how many maidservants she brings. And if she brings 4 maidservants into the marriage, then she doesn't even need to do the little errands. However, Rabbi Eliezer said she's always going to have to do one thing, which is work with wool, because otherwise she'll be bored, and if she's so bored, then it will lead to her being immoral and going off with other people because she won't have anything to do. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel took that step further and said that even if a man makes a neder, a vow, on his wife, saying, if you do any work, then I'm not going to have relations with you, and the halacha is, if you can't have relations with your wife, then you've got to get divorced. So you would think that just don't do work, and then it's fine, but she has to do work, because if she doesn't work, then not only will it lead to immorality, but it will lead to her going insane, because she'll be so bored. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if you make such a neder, then you'll have to get divorced, because she has to work. The Mishnah then discussed the man's obligation to have relations with the wife, and we said that if he makes a neder not to have relations with her, then the maximum amount of time that neder can last before he has to get divorced, according to Beis Shammai, it was 2 weeks, because that's how long he can't have relations with her in general when she gives birth, because she's tomei at that point. And Beis Hillel said even 1 week, because she becomes tomei more often as a nidah. But if it's something so not common, for example, giving birth, that's not considered bearable, only 1 week, so if it's more than 1 week, then he'll have to get divorced. We then said that people who learn as their job, learn Torah, they're allowed to leave their wives without permission for a maximum of 1 month, and workers can do it for a maximum of 1 week. We then mentioned the obligation of a man to have relations with his wife. We said if you're unemployed, you've got to do it every day. If you're employed, you've got to do it twice a week. If you have a job in that city, then you have to do it once a week. If it's in another city, if you go to other cities, then it's once every 30 days. And if you're a sailor, meaning you go away for a very long time, then it's only once every 6 months, twice a year. If a woman refuses to have relations with her husband, then her ksuba is reduced by 7 dinarim each week. Kundur bis Turbi Huda, it's actually 7 half dinarim. And once her ksuba has been reduced completely, then you have to get divorced. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, even once it's completely reduced to nothing, you still can continue to reduce it to minuses, in case she inherits something else, and then he can get the money from there. And if he refused to have relations with her, then you add on to her ksuba 3 dinarim each week, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, it's 3 half dinarim, and the reason why it's less for a man is because the man feels more pain when not being able to have relations with a woman. Okay, you're allowed to support your wife by a third party, as long as you give her food, enough food to have for 2 meals a day, which was how much they ate in those days, plus another 2 meals to give to poor people coming to collect. And also you've got to give her clothes and bedding, and also a mo'or kesef. A mo'or kesef is 100 silver coins each week, and that's for various little things she needs to buy. And even though he can do all of this by a third party, he needs to have relations with her once a week on Friday night, and therefore he eats with her on Friday night as well, because that's the night they had relations. And she still needs to make masi odeho in return for the support. And if she's nursing a child, then she needs more food, and she doesn't need to make as much masi odeho. And also, if she's the wife of a very wealthy person, then that person will have to give her even more than this, not just the bare minimum, which we've described in the Mishnah. Perek Vav continued discussing the entitlements of the husband, and we said whatever she finds and her masi odeho belongs to the husband, whatever she inherits belongs to her, but again, the husband can benefit from the produce of that field. And then we had a machlokes about compensation which she receives for damage and embarrassment. According to the Tanakama, it belongs to her. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, if it happens in privately and people don't know about it, then she gets 2/3, the husband gets 1. If people know about it, then it's more harmful for the husband, and therefore the husband will get 2/3 of the damage and she'll get 1/3. And whenever she gets the money, we actually buy a field, and then he can benefit from the produce while he is married to her. The remainder of Perek Vav discussed the woman's dowry, which is what she brings into the marriage for the husband, and when she gets divorced, that is written in the ksuba, and when she gets divorced, she receives everything she brought in. But we said that if you promise a dowry, then even if you promise it out of engagement, then you still have to give it. You can't go back on your word with a dowry. But however, if the man dies, the future husband dies, and during the Eirusin period while they're engaged, and then she falls for Yibam, for the husband's brother, then the husband's brother does not necessarily receive the dowry, because the father can say, I don't want to give it to you, I only wanted to give it to that man and not to you. We then said, when it comes to writing down the dowry in the ksuba, you actually write down the value plus half its value, because since he can use it to use, it's talking about money specifically, since he can use it to make a profit and use it for business, then he can actually, it's worth more than it is, because he can use it for that. And if it's something which diminishes in value, like things, not money, then you write the value minus a fifth. And if he pledges to give, as part of the dowry, 10 dinar for her cosmetics and her perfume, then he's actually obligated to do that for every single 100 dinar which is brought into the marriage as the dowry. If you don't specify how much the dowry is going to be when it comes to the marriage, then you have to give at least 50 zuz. And that applies also if an orphan girl is married off, then she also, the tzedakah fund needs to provide for her at least 50 zuz, which is the same as dinar. We then actually had a machlokas about an orphan girl. If her mother and brothers marry her off and not the tzedakah fund, then how much is her dowry? According to the Tanakama, the father would actually want to give, since she's an orphan, he'd want to give her a tenth of all his inheritance, and therefore that's how much she can get. And even if they married her off for less than that, once she becomes bas mitzvah, she can claim that amount from them. However, according to Yehuda, however much the father who died gave to the first daughter who got married, so too it's the same amount for the second daughter, even though she's an orphan now. According to Yehuda, the father would do exactly the same thing for each daughter. We then had a machlokes about if a man gives someone else money in order to buy a field for his daughter's dowry, and then he dies. So, and then she says to the man who her father entrusted the money with, she says, you know what, give the money to my future husband, I trust him to buy a field, not to take the money for himself. According to Meir, he's not allowed to listen to her, because he's got to fulfill, it's called mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, which means it's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of someone who's previously died. And Rabbi Yossi said, actually, she has every right, since even if he buys the field, then she gets the field, she can actually sell it for money and give the money to her husband. So since she has the rights over the field anyway, there's no point in being Makayim, the Divrei Hamis, there's no point in listening to what her father said, since she can get around it anyway. The first five Mishnayos of Perek Zayin discuss the case where the woman makes a neder and her husband doesn't annul it, which means he's happy for it to go along, and since he allows it to happen, so he'll actually have to get divorced from her, since this is considered an inui nefesh, which means it's suffering for her, and something like that he could annul, and if he doesn't annul, he has to get divorced from her because it causes her pain and suffering. So if he makes a neder, or she makes a neder, and he allows it to happen, that she can't benefit from him, then after 30 days he's got to get divorced. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a kohen, we actually give them another month, two months altogether, since the kohen can't remarry her after he's got divorced. The second neder was that she can't taste a certain fruit. According to the Tanakama, you've got to get divorced immediately. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only on the second day you've got to get divorced, and if it's a kohen, then the third day. If it's a neder that she can't use a certain perfume, then according to the Tanakama, again, they've got to get divorced immediately. But according to Rabbi Yossi, if she's poor, then the only way that she's got to get divorced is if the vow is forever. Because since a poor person doesn't really use perfume anyway, it's not considered inui nefesh, unless it means that you can't use perfume forever. And if she's wealthy, she does use perfume, but her perfume lasts about a month. And therefore, it's only if you make the neder for more than a month, that is only then will you have to get divorced from her. If there's a neder that she can't go to her father's house, if the father lives in the same city and she visits him often, then 2 months. But if he lives in a different city, then it's only after one of the Sholosh Regalim has passed, or if it's a kohen, then two. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would actually be two, and if it's a kohen, then three. He just adds 1 month from that. Okay, the fifth neder was if she makes a neder and he allows that she can't visit a mourner's house, she can't comfort people, and she can't go to a party, a house of feasting, then again she'll have to get divorced immediately, because he is preventing other people from comforting her when she needs it or joining her feasting. And according to everyone, if he makes a neder that she's got to embarrass herself or cause herself harm, then he's got to get divorced from her immediately. Then we listed certain women who had to get divorced and they don't even receive a ksuba. One is if they transgress Das Moshe, which is halacha, which is mentioned in the Torah. And the other one is if they transgress Das Yehudis, which is the Jewish custom of women, and that's the custom, even then you'll have to get divorced out of Ksuba. Abba Shaul said, even if she insults her father-in-law, meaning her husband's father, whilst her husband is there. And Tyfon says, even if she asks for relations very loudly, since it's embarrassing for him, she'll also lose her Ksuba and have to get divorced. And one last example was that if he got engaged to her on condition that she didn't have any vows or she didn't have any blemishes, and then he marries her without specifying the condition, and then he finds out that actually she does, then also she would not receive her ksuba when he gets divorced, and he has to get divorced from her. But if he does mention the condition even at marriage, and then he later finds out that actually she did have a vow or a blemish, then the kiddushin in the first place was actually a mekach to'os, which we had right at the beginning of the Masechta, which means that she tricked him, and therefore the whole kiddushin is invalid from the start.